We do have time for questions.
Yes.
Have you looked, a lot of the graphs are low rank. Have you looked, because it's...
Oh, I mean, so these ones are usually, okay, the ones I've got are usually not low rank or even close to.
So have you looked at the problem when you have low rank graphs?
So, Laplacian matrices tend not to be low rank. Okay, there's a question about, you can look at the eigenvalue distribution and try to take a look at, are they sort of approximately low rank? You know, like, you can take a look at high powers of a matrix, and then you can take a look at, is the resulting system something that's very numerically low rank? And that happens in most of the systems that come up in, like, scientific computing type applications. So if you take a 2D mesh or something like that, they're sort of... Well, okay, then I need to think about that. Not the Laplacian matrix.
All of these network recommendation systems... recommendation systems, the matrices are low rank.
Oh, yes, or at least people try to... so be careful. Our Laplacian matrices are not going to be things like low rank. The if you take a look at, there's an operator that you get from diffusion, which is related to the Laplacian. It's like the identity minus the Laplacian, or a multiple of the identity minus the Laplacian. And those can become numerically sort of low rank matrices, and then there are algorithms that exploit that. And you can actually understand a lot of what's been done on solving PDEs in that vein. And I have colleagues like Vladimir Rocklin and his fast multipole method, this sort of work based on these ideas. But I haven't looked too much. But I usually look at the Laplacian matrices because that's what I'm usually doing. Those aren't. Yeah.
So your notion of a good approximating graph is that the average stretch in some sense.
Oh, so I should be careful. That was for a tree. So yeah, our notion for a tree was average stretch. When you get to a more general, when you're generally approximating one graph by another graph is not quite as clean. You could start with generalizing that notion to looking at, you don't just flow in one path. You flow over many paths if you have something other than a tree. But our notion of approximation is
clean. So my question was, what if we just want to talk about the worst case and the shortest?
Well, there's this issue that, okay, so if you want to approximate a graph by a tree and you go subgraphs, your example of the cycle is the first problem. That said,
cycle, it doesn't need to be
approximated. You might. Okay, so that's a good question. You can, if you take a graph, something a little, with a few more edges than a cycle, you can still build things where there is, where we, no matter what sort of tree you take, you won't do very well. There will always be long edges. So you're not going to get rid of this phenomenon of having long edges and you approximate by a tree unless you're willing to go to Steiner trees. So if you're willing to introduce vertices and then try to approximate a graph by a tree, but where the tree has new vertices, this was started in work of Yair Barkal, and he got to log squared approximations. And those are actually the sort of, there's no worst case, there's no bad edges. So you can approximate any metric by a tree metric. And then that, people eventually got down to also a log n.
You wanted the approximate graph to satisfy certain nice properties.
I needed it to be a subgraph.
Right.
Yeah.
But not only that, but you wanted a logic degree, you wanted a vertices.
Yes, that's right.
Suppose you just wanted to have a small number of edges in the approximate graph. That's your main objective.
Okay.
A small number of edges.
You can reduce the stretch. Okay, so again, it depends on how many edges you want. But if you want to think of a tree plus, say, k edges, of a k number, then I think you can get the longest stretch down to approximately n over k times log k. So with every edge you add, you can knock the stretch down. And it's sort of by a congestion argument. You sort of have to add a few bridge edges in the tree. Ironically, the only way I know to build these things is you give me a graph and I build a low stretch spanning tree and then I add some edges back to it. I'm stuck. I don't want to make a return for that. Okay, so why don't I go here?
Could you recommend a book for students like me who just finished a linear algebra course and want to take a close look at social networks and use special graph theory?
Oh, okay, so...
It's better to be at, like, introduction level.
Yeah, that's a good question. I don't know any books in that regime that work, that focus on social networks. There are a lot of references on spectral graph theory. And if you look at my webpage, I have one, some notes, and do I teach a course on it. So I have lecture notes, and I also give you references to other books. So I recommend taking a look at them and seeing which agrees with you.
Is there any hope of using these beautiful techniques to lower the inversion of matrix and lower bound?
And I don't think we have anything to say about inverting matrices. It's just a completely different problem as far as I can tell. Yeah.
Well, in minimization of the Laplacian quadratic form for a graph, would it make sense to minimize replacing the square with the absolute value?
If you replace them with the absolute value, once you set boundary conditions, like I want voltage one here or voltage there or something like that, let me think about it. If I set boundary conditions, it turns into a flow problem. I think if you just put in absolute values in both the numerator and the denominator, then I think it becomes the sparsest cut problem in a graph. But you can, yeah. So it translates into something else, but much harder. So it translates into something much harder without boundary conditions, and sort of easier if you do have fixed boundary conditions.
Could you go over vertex sparsifiers?
So vertex sparsifiers are a very cool idea, where people say, I have a problem and I only care about a few nodes in the graph. Like, you only care about communication among a few nodes. And then the question is, you don't want to really sparsify the graph. You want to get something that's smaller just on those vertices. So throw away the rest of the graph and just stick some edges between them. But yeah, people have come up with constructions and algorithms that let you, if you care about things like flow problems or electrical problems and such, on just a few vertices, they let you throw away most of the graph and compress it down to just a few vertices. And then your answers are approximately the same down. As far as I can tell, there are no relations in how we build them.
So just ask for a little expansion on the last point you're concluding.
Yes.
In particular, is this something that you're saying appears in multiple areas, or you're suggesting that it should be a new modality?
About not fearing large constants? Well, let me put it this way. I have seen other occasions of this. Usually it is in the case where you are safe going away from the theory a little bit. I think that good theory can inspire good algorithms, and in applications like this, where you can check if you get your answer right, and you don't have to have an algorithm that provably works, then those sorts of places are completely ripe for improving, and people do all the time. I mean, if I think about an optimization, there's so many algorithms, I'll start with interior point methods, where we have theoretical analyses that are pretty good, but when you actually implement them and make them work well, you are far more aggressive than what the theory can justify. But you can still check if you get your answer right, so it doesn't matter too much.
Assuming that it fits in RAM.
Assuming it fits in memory, yes.
So this means the COV is not so important for application.
It will inspire. I mean, it depends on this. I believe it inspires the development of good algorithms often. It causes you to think about things that you might not. But I do think that when you see a theorist come up with an algorithm with an insanely large constant somewhere, that constant is often an artifact of the analysis, not the limits of what you can do. And if you really care about a problem, there might be really ideas there you can use to do much better. And maybe if you're good enough, you can improve the constants as well. But that can, you know, that might not be the most rewarding work. Let's put it this way. If you build an algorithm and it's got a giant constant in it, and then you use that to get an implementation with a small constant, and you run the implementation, it actually works and runs quickly, you're probably really happy, and then less motivated to go back and improve the large constants, actually. But in this case,
maybe the average running.
Yes, or right, there could be other ways of measuring it as well. But certainly in this case, we saw things where the constants kept coming down, and there are many applications related to these tools that I have. I mean, I can't tell you how many people are begging me for low stretch spanning trees. And I actually don't have code I'm really happy to give them yet, because my heuristics, I have not implemented the most recent algorithm, but when I did implement things, my heuristics were either a little bit annoyingly slow. Again, I don't want to run too much faster than computing a maximum spanning tree. Or they got me things where I could break them sometimes. That's a little aggravating. I think there's room to improve a lot of this stuff. Both in the theory and improvements in the theory, I think, will lead to improvements in the practice. One in the back, I guess.
There are too many people who start the linear system using so-called algebraic multiplication.
Yes, okay, so... Yeah, so algebraic multigrid is a great example of a heuristic that people developed in the scientific computing community that often works. It works particularly well on problems that tend to arise in scientific computing, and will handle Laplacian-like systems like this. And I recommend using it. There's a package now called LAMG, Lean Algebraic Multigrid, which is pretty darn fast. And you can download it, and if it solves your system, you'll be really happy and you can check. We can't prove things about these sort of algebraic multigrid algorithms in general, and people do have experience of them breaking on nasty problems. So, but it is certainly part of the inspiration for designing out things like this. They have a multi-level structure like this does as well.
Okay, before we give another round of applause, let me remind you to not only take your own trash, but also take your neighbor's trash. So thank you very much.